Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where I relate to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Jeff Holman, and he's the founder and CEO of Intellectual Strategies, where they specialize on everything that has to do with the legal side of scaling a brand. We know that we always talk here sometimes about marketing and the branding, but at the end of the day, if all that is spot on, but you don't have your brand protected, it can be very dangerous down the line. And we have seen that many times, especially the e-commerce brands that have put so much effort into creating a brand, and because they didn't spend time with experts like Jeff, then they have a very hard time. And that's why I wanted to bring Jeff to the episode today. I want to discuss around, you know, typical questions that Amazon sellers may have when it comes to protecting their brand. And what are some of the best practices when it comes to moving forward to ensure that as you scale the brand, you don't encounter, you know, obstacles that can make your life very difficult. So, Jeff, a pleasure to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's my pleasure to be here. And if I can just say, first of all, Jeff doesn't sound nearly as fancy as Vincenzo. So, you know, maybe I might have to work on that.
Yeah, I think I need to put a patent on that, right? Cool. Pleasure to have you, Jeff. I guess for those that don't know you, just give us a quick intro about yourself and your company, and then, of course, we dive into the topic.
Yeah, let me go surface level because there's a lot of twists and turns in my path that I've been on. But I basically started out as an engineer, went to law school, worked on a bunch of patents and stuff for people, decided to go to business school because I wanted to work on a broader types of things with my clients than just the inventions. So now we've got a small law firm. We have what we call a fractional legal team that is essentially an in-house legal team for startups and scaling companies. And it's been a fun ride so far with a lot of neat little things that have happened along the way.
Awesome. So, as I was saying, and first of all, before I jump into the topic, it's so interesting that you as an engineer, I'm an engineer as well. I'm an aerospace engineer. Out of curiosity, what kind of engineer are you?
I am an electrical engineer.
Okay, so. Cool. That's nice. Actually, it's funny. I was having a conversation with one of my mentors a week ago, and he was saying that usually the most successful businessmen are usually engineers that then down the line they become entrepreneurs. So, you know, you are going to for a good trade.
Well, I've enjoyed my path so far, for sure.
Cool. So let's dive into the topic, which is, you know, figuring out all the legal kind of sort of things of scaling a brand. I would like to start with, you know, some of the basics, and then of course we can go into the more complex kind of areas of protecting a brand. I will say one of the first questions that people tell me when they started their business on Amazon is, you know, at what stage throughout their journey they should start diving deeper into, you know, having a trademark, having a patent, when they should start looking into protecting it. Because some people might say, I don't know if this is going to go into a big scale that might need some protection, or I don't know if I would like only to stay as a side hustle. Like, you know, there's always that uncertainty, especially when you're getting started as an entrepreneur. But at the same time, I have seen also, unfortunately, the situation that if you don't take action early on, people can take advantage of you. So tell us, what are some of those criteria or maybe some recommendations you would give to Amazon sellers to take when they're getting started with a brand?
Yeah, I'd love to. Let me back up one step from there, because I kind of look at all this stuff in layers, right? You've got the patents and the trademarks are different layers of IP. You've got your own IP, you've got other people's IP. And so everything is kind of these layers. And so when I first have conversation with clients, the first thing I want them to know about IP is that you can own your own IP, but other people have their own IP too. And so there's really kind of two sides to the coin, right? It's how do I protect my invention so that, yep. or my brand, so that people don't come and, you know, leverage what I've built for their own commerce. But at the same time, how do I make sure that I'm not accused of infringing somebody else's brand and leveraging their brand, and then, you know, them trying to shut me down? Because we mm-hmm. we see both sides of that, right? Yeah. People launch products and get shut down, and people launch products and then they get overtaken by competitors because they haven't protected themselves. So yeah. important to look at both sides of that.
Yeah, I will say actually that's a very interesting point that you bring to the table, because it's true. A lot of times people think that the legal side of things is only to protect yourself. But sometimes out of, you know, not because you're doing something with bad intention, but because you just don't have the knowledge around that specific category or what some of the competitors are doing, it's very easy to, you know, break essentially some other trademarks or patents because you just are not aware of them. And that's where things can get very messy as well. So I guess we can start with that one, because a lot of people actually skip that step when getting started, which is making sure they're not infringing in other people's trademarks and patents. So I guess what is usually your recommendation as a first step when you're looking to get started?
Yeah. So I often have people call me a few steps down the line. So I'm glad you're asking about the first steps, because the people who call a few steps down the line, they're calling because they've already got a problem, right? Exactly. That's when they reach out and they say, hey, I found this piece of jewelry, or I found this toy or whatever, and I've been selling it. I've been making a lot of money, but now I've got someone who sent me a letter saying that, you know, mm-hmm. I'm infringing and they're shutting me down and I can't get my store back or all those problems. Right. And so if you do this up front, what you want to do is you want to look and say, what types of product are you looking to launch? Right. And then does that product, here's kind of one of the keys. If you have found your product by going out and finding the most successful products out there, you definitely want to go and see if that product is covered by a patent, because a lot of those products are covered by patents. When the copycats come up, and if you're one of them, these guys go out and they just shut everybody else down. Okay. You know? And so that's on the patent side. And on the trademark side, the same thing can happen. And of course, patents are kind of the protection for the thing, whereas trademarks are protection for the branding, the name, the logo, things like that. So same thing on the branding. When you go out and you say, hey, I'm going to start selling this product, you know, if you're buying somebody else's and reselling it under their brand, that's one issue. If you're buying a product and then putting your own brand or label on that product, you want to do what we call a clearance search. And this is good for both protecting your own brand, but also investigating whether or not you might be accused of infringing somebody else's. You want to do a clearance search where you say, if I launch this brand for this product, is there somebody else in this same market, this jurisdiction, that is potentially going to come after me and say that I'm infringing? So a little bit of searching, a little bit of research can go a really long way, especially when you're launching with $100,000 purchase of inventory, yeah. or whatever it might be.
Yes. I think that search kind of service that most people should be taking is something that I recommend so much, because unfortunately it once happened to me. I got into a trendy product and I thought like, yeah, I'm killing it. I'm making so much money and invested so much money in inventory and everything. And then it happens a lot. Usually these trendy products or things are very innovative. Usually mm-hmm. it's something that, yes, for a few months you're going to make money, but then the guy that actually invented the product is going to come against, you know, all these sellers, and it can be very costly. So very good recommendation when it comes to that. I guess out of curiosity, when you do these searches, because I know some sellers might have this question, is this a search that usually you recommend for people to do only under specific kind of country that they're looking to sell, or there is recommended to do like a global kind of search because maybe you're looking to expand and it could be a roadblock down the line? What is your recommendation when it comes to that?
That's a great question. We typically want to know with our clients, you know, what is your roadmap? Where are you headed? If you're going to sell just in the US, you know, we have a lot of US based clients who say, if I can just sell in the US, I'm fine. In that case, we'll probably just look at the US market. But if they're manufacturing overseas, we might look at the countries where they're manufacturing. Or if they're overseas people, we have a fair number of people who come to us for their U.S. IP and business needs, and they're from, you know, New Zealand or Australia or places like that. And so if they're coming from overseas and they're planning to sell, well, I'm going to sell in the U.S., I want to sell in Canada, and I want to sell somewhere else. You really want to look at the places where your product or your brand is where it's made, where it's shipped through, and where you're ultimately selling it. So that's those are kind of the key places.
Nice. Now, when it comes to, we briefly mentioned trademark and patents, right? So I know when it comes to usually registering a trademark tends to be sometimes cheaper than having a patent registration. But I would like to briefly touch on you know, what is usually the priority here in terms of decision making, because at the end of the day, both are very important, right? So when it comes to practically having, like, I guess a timeline in terms of should I do this first or this first, what is usually the chronologic order? Like, would you go always first for the trademark because that's the image and then focus on the patent or vice versa? Like, is there like a right way of doing it or it doesn't really matter when it comes to it?
No, there are a lot of ways that people will do it depending on their own circumstances. But so there's not necessarily a right way to do it, but there are some factors that you want to keep in mind. And let me add one more element to this, because when we say patents, there's really two types of patents that are applicable to a lot of e-commerce products. You know, you've got your utility patents that protect the structure and the function of something, but then you've also got design patents that protect what we call the ornamental design, or really the look of the product, as opposed to how it's made and how it operates. Mm-hmm. And so you've got two types of patents, and then you've got trademarks that protect the brand. Here's how those differ, right? And they're there's not a right way or a wrong way, a right chronology for filing these. But what you need to keep in mind is that on the patent side, for both utility and design patents, you have some deadlines, right? Because as soon as you disclose your invention, and that means you tell people about it, you publish it online, you sell it on Amazon or on your own website, you offer it for sale even, any of those things act as what we call a bar event, meaning you've told the public about your invention. And at that point, the government has no incentive to give you patent rights to protect it because you've already disclosed it. And that's what they're really trying to get you to do with the patent programs. So filing for patent protection before you do any of those disclosure types of events is super important. If you don't, then you're going to end up in a lot of countries just being prohibited from getting a patent, because the second you do that, these countries say, nope, that's a bar event, meaning you can't file a patent in this country. Some countries like the US have, they'll let you do a disclosure event, and then you have like a 12-month grace period. And if you file, so you can kind of get back into the process sometimes, but for a lot of our sellers, that's not what they're intending to do. They want to maybe start in the US and then expand into other countries. And so they want to preserve all their rights. So for patents specifically, before you do any disclosure events, you want to have that filed. On the trademark side, it's not necessarily the opposite, but it is in a way the opposite, because on trademarks, you might want to get your application filed sooner and you want to do your clearance searching sooner, but you don't necessarily have to file the application because of the same reasons that you would a patent. You actually, in order to get through the entire trademark process in the US and some other countries, you have to show that you're already using that branding, you know, logo, mark in commerce before they'll finish the process for you. So using it sooner, using your branding elements, your branding assets sooner is a lot more acceptable than disclosing your invention sooner, right? And so those are kind of the two key elements for the difference between patents and trademarks and what you might think of when you're saying, well, when should I do these?
Yes. Nice. I think on the patents, I think that's very good that you mentioned that, because I have seen certain scenarios where people have done things with even Kickstarter or things like that, and they show the product and they start doing crowdfunding and they think they can patent it afterwards. And a lot of those ideas, unfortunately, on Kickstarter get stolen because they don't patent it soon enough. And it's something that you have to be very careful when it comes to that. So thank you for pointing that out. And now you mentioned design patent and utility patent. And I would like to go deeper into this, because from what I've been hearing and what I have experienced, it seems like design patent, if your competition is very clever, like they can get around very fast. That it seems like it doesn't protect you as much as utility. So what is your point of view on that? And what are some of your experiences?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right in that design patents are typically more narrow. They're interpreted more narrowly than utility patents. That's because the way that you, what we say, claim your invention in a design patent is very different from how you claim your invention in a utility patent. In a design patent, you actually draw pictures, right? Or you present perhaps photos. You present some images.
A model.
What's that?
Yeah. The model.
Like the model, yeah. Model, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you show the front, you show the back, you show top, bottom, sides, and you show what the visual appearance of your device is, and then you elect which parts of that appearance you're actually claiming, because you show some solid lines, you show some dotted lines, and you get to pick which parts of those you're claiming. In a utility application, while there are oftentimes drawings, those drawings are just to help explain what the invention is, but the actual claims, the legal claims you're making, don't have anything to do with the drawings directly. What they have to do with it are these written, kind of really formalistic legal sounding claims. You know, I claim an apparatus for, you know, whatever, and the apparatus comprises this and this, and that's connected to that, and it's, you know, and so you're using these words to claim your invention. Now, the effect of that is, when you have these words, there's a lot more room for interpretation as to what those words mean. So utility patents, in effect, they're more expensive to get, they're harder to litigate and enforce against other people. But if you do go down that path, you have oftentimes kind of more flexibility as to how you say that your patent covers this other product. Whereas a design patent, it's a picture. Does this picture look substantially similar, or in legal terms, confusingly similar to someone else's product? If it's confusingly similar, then you could potentially shut them down for infringing your design patent.
Exactly.
So they're very different, but and a lot of times people will get both, right? They'll get a utility patent, and
I was going to ask you that, if you can have both in the same product.
Yeah, you can. And this, the real difficulty with this, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners deal with, is budgeting. It's like, well, okay, Jeff, you want me to get a trademark, you want me to get a design patent, you want me to get a utility patent. Like, do you just want to charge me $30,000 to go through, like, and I haven't even made a product yet or sold anything. And I get it. It's you know, you've got to do what's best for you. The business and making money has to be higher priority than the legal. And all of the IP stuff that we do, for the most part, is speculative. So it's, you know, we talk about gambling or whatever. We talk about investing in stocks and hoping that they go up in value. Well, patents and trademarks are very similar. And so there's a very speculative nature, because you have to write and file and commit to what your invention is.
And
hope it works before you even tell anybody. Before you determine if the market wants your product. And so it's a tough, you know, I know why it works that way. But I also understand why it's a kind of this tough, expensive decision people struggle with a lot of times.
Yeah. Now, another thing I would like to bring to the table is, I have heard from some people when they do patents in the US, that then sometimes they could be, you know, competition, specifically sometimes you manufacture, let's say in China, that even if you have like a patent in the US, a design or utility patent, they could be very sneaky and then also do a patent in China, something like that, and maybe sometimes block you from manufacturing in China and block your operations. I want to bring that to the table, because I know a lot of Amazon sales manufacture in China as well. So have you experienced that? And if so, what is your recommendation to combat those kind of issues, you know?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that. It's not very common, but when it happens, you do feel like you're being held hostage.
Yes.
And it could happen with the patents. It could happen with trademarks and other things, right? It could happen because you haven't put the right in an agreement in place with your manufacturer, or maybe you're with a trading company and not directly with me. Like, all these things could play into scenarios where somebody in China says, I'm going to file a patent, and then if you don't continue working with me, I'm going to sue you for infringement, or I'm going to file a Chinese trademark on your US trademark. And same thing, if you don't manufacture with me, I'm going to shut you down in China. Yeah. You have to go somewhere else. So it does happen. It's very rare. Well, I say it's very rare. It's very rare that you hear about this. Yeah. It happens sometimes it's not the majority of times, but when it happens to you, it means the world, because you know, your business gets put on hold. And and so that's why there's a bunch of other kind of business aspects to setting up these relationships in China that go beyond just the legal. And you need a lot of other experts, perhaps people in your network and your audience who can step in and be like, well, let me tell you how to find a trusted source so that these legal issues are less likely to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason why I wanted to bring that initial example to Ethereum is because I know when it comes to patents and trademarks, sometimes they are not global coverage. So maybe we can use this initial example to start a conversation, like how much protection you get if you get a utility patent or a design patent in the States. Like, does it only protect you in the States, or you can enforce this in other regions, for example?
Great question. The patent systems are jurisdictional based. So every country and sometimes regions of countries have patent systems. And in order to get rights in one country, you have to have a patent in that country. So I can't take my patent in the United States and go enforce that in China or Vietnam or Mexico or Canada, right? I can only, I can use it to stop people from making, selling, using, importing into the United States, but that's the extent of it. So there's all sorts of systems, a couple different kind of formal systems that have been adopted over the years. There's something called the Patent Cooperation Treaty, where several countries, not all of them, but many countries have said, okay, we're going to all adopt this treaty, and we can then recognize that a patent filed in the United States can be used to then launch a corresponding patent in another country, for example. But you still have to get the patent in China. You can't just use the US. So we have a lot of clients who, in addition to saying, I need to file a utility or a design patent or a trademark, I then need to link that US application to a Chinese application. And now I have to get a translated version of my US application in Chinese and pursue that there, or I need to pursue. And so it kind of, you know, it becomes this web or this system of IP, these layers of IP. And so you have to be very strategic, because it is expensive. You know, I've had clients in the past who are like, Jeff, I want to protect this thing in the whole world. I'm like, no, you don't. that's you know, biggest clients, when I did patent work for IBM, IBM would choose, you know, for their most high priority patents that we worked on, they'd choose two or three countries where they wanted to protect that, not 25, because each country charges you for the process. And then a lot of countries outside the United States charge you every year just to continue to have that. It's called an annuity. They charge you just to continue to have that active. And so the costs just skyrocket if you do that.
Very
so
fast.
You
got to
be very fast. Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool. Now, I guess to start coming to you know, a conclusion on today's episode, like, what other things besides, you know, trademarks and patents may you like to bring to the table as a, you know, as a recommendation, as an insight, anything else you've been seeing in the space that you feel Amazon sellers should be aware of that?
For what we do with a lot of clients, those are the major points. You know, we see a lot of clients who we're helping them on the business side, where they're, you know, finding investors and they're getting partners or founders and they're working together. And I think maybe related, but outside of Amazon is a lot of your vendor agreements. That's where you have, you know, you want to be really careful with those, because we've seen vendor relationships that, just like getting shut down on Amazon, if a vendor relationship goes sour, you can really be shut down, impacted quite a bit. So not specifically Amazon, but very related. And so we help people with kind of start to finish in their business, but from an e-commerce standpoint, those are IP at the Amazon, on the Amazon platform and the brand registry, things like that. That's probably the main point, and the main kind of powerful lever that we see our clients use.
Awesome, Jeff. So it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm sure there's so many people, you know, now that most likely want to reach out to you, have a more in-depth conversation. So tell us how people can find you and get more in-depth with this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed the chat. We do a lot of free strategy calls for clients, you know, just check out, see if this is something that's good for them, good for us, if there's a good working relationship to be had. So if people are interested, they can go to find me on LinkedIn or find me on my website, intellectualstrategies.com, and they could see my calendar and you can sign up for a free 30-minute strategy call. In that call, we'll talk about your business, talk about what you're doing, maybe what messes you've made that need to be cleaned up, and talk about kind of roadmap out your big major business milestones coming up and which legal types of things you should be thinking about with those major business milestones.
Awesome, Jeff. So thank you so much. I'm going to put all the information for people to find it, and it's been a pleasure, and hopefully I see you soon. Yeah.
It'd be great. Thanks so much, Vincenzo.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.